hosts Joni and Mike plan to delve into the unknown paranormal world in hopes of uncovering the unknown and the unheard. Welcome to EVP Spirit Talk on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to EVP Spirit Talk Radio. Oh, my God, I hope everybody's had a pretty good week. Mike, I'm Joni, and my brother, Mike. Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine. My phone just continues to work.
I know. Mike's having phone issues. We're hopefully going to be able to keep him online here for the next hour or so till we get through our show.
Yeah.
So, could we have... Go ahead.
Can you hear me? Because I'm, like, everything's breaking up. I'm sorry.
You sound a little echoey, but I just don't know if that's me or what.
No,
but that might just be me. So, but anyway. Yeah, because we have got a really good show tonight. We have Nance Ratliff from, well, from everywhere. Nance just does a lot of everything. And we'll get into that when she gets on here. I know she's off to Massachusetts tomorrow, I think with Mass Paranormal and Tom and those people. But we'll ask her all about that and see what she's up to, which I'm sure there's a lot she's up to. So anyway, how was your day, Michael?
It was good. It was long, but it was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's my illness issues. I kind of went on my mommy a little bit. It's good. It's all good.
Okay. Yeah, you are breaking up.
Yeah, I
don't know what that is.
And it's my house. That's what it is.
And your house will little active today, probably. Everybody else is, so.
It's extremely active today.
Anyway, I'm telling you, for you guys that know us, me, our family, and you know my kids, and you know Emily has Asperger's disorder, which is basically high functioning autism / ADHD, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And when she went into school, and we had her diagnosed, and we went through the protocols and da da da, and she was on Ritalin, and she was on, oh my God, Clonidine, Paxil, Desiril, anyway. Anyway, it didn't really help a whole lot at school because these kids are so prone to anxiety and OCD behaviors. And we took her out in sixth grade, well, seventh really. And after we got her home, we took her off all medications, which the first time she'd been really drug-free since she was five. And as we got her off the medications, we noticed that she didn't know how to deal with things. And that she didn't really recognize basic emotions. So, we think we're past that. Now she's 18, she's got plans, school, work, and she's doing great.
Mm-hmm.
But my son, who's 11, we figure he's has some cognitive difficulties, mostly with like reading and comprehension. Otherwise, he's brilliant. So, just to be safe, we started him on what they call an IEP, which is an individual educational program. And that is for the school, so they can provide him with the help he needs and get him through school, which they did. And the school actually has the power to do that now. They can give you an educational diagnosis for your child. So if they're having trouble in reading or they're having trouble in social skills or anything, they can step in and help these kids, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so we've went now, and Kevin's in almost through fifth grade, and in April... He went into puberty, and his anxiety went times 10. And we had a lot of trouble, and he was just a nervous wreck, and he wondered what he's trying to run over to school all the time. So we took him out, and we worked with the school, fine, put him on medical leave. And I thought, well, this is the time we should probably try to get him formally diagnosed in case we need some help on down the line. So I went around and asked my brother Mike, who works at the hospital, and friend of mine that worked at hospitals, friends I knew that had kids with Asperger's, try and find a neurologist or a psychiatrist, because they asked what you have to have for diagnosis. Police doctors, and this is from Wheeling to Columbus, including Children's Hospital, are backed up anywhere from 3 to 5 months. Mm-hmm. If you have an emergency, you dial 911, and that's like, that's not the kind of emergency it is, because we want to get them straightened out before school starts again. So, after I went through all those people, I decided to ask some friends of mine that are teachers. And I got an email yesterday from one of them, and she's a very nice person, and she's a teacher, and she teaches, actually, it's preschool slash kindergarten or both at a school in Cambridge for exceptional children, and she deals with these kids every day, and we're talking about, she gave me a couple recommendations for doctors, and then she starts talking about the meds, and I couldn't believe, because this must be a very common thing anymore, for, and these are little tiny kids. She mentioned things like Ritalin and Concerta and Adderall and Paxil, maybe, if they want them, and that type of thing. But she brought up lithium.
And that just blew my mind.
Lithium, for a child with bipolar disorder. And I about didn't even know how to answer her for a while, because I worked, I interviewed at the Cambridge State Hospital for a while back in the 80s. And I saw the few then that actually got lithium were, you know, adults and older, from like, you know, 20s up. The ones that were on lithium had what they call EPS, which is extrapyramidal symptoms, which is drooling and shuffling your feet, you can't walk, and shaking and staring. And these side effects from lithium are not reversible. And there's no way to stop them.
Right.
So I've got in my head that I've seen these people, and the people out there on lithium, that was only for schizophrenics, severe schizophrenics. Most of them had killed someone.
Right.
And they're giving these kids lithium? These little children lithium?
Lithium basically kills all your functions. It makes you a zombie.
I know. It just blew my mind. I mean, I've helped at the school. I've seen kids that need something. There are some kids that need something. I've seen kids with ADHD or ADD, and you can tell when they don't take their Ritalin or their Adderall or whatever. It makes a big difference. Most of the kids that had a problem, especially when they're little, it's not treated with drugs.
No.
There's too much neglect going on. There's too much pressure on kids in general. They don't get into a fight. They want to mold them and do. They can't be individuals.
Exactly.
This is what needs addressed. We don't go and throw drugs at them. And then we turn around and say, don't you guys take drugs? Don't smoke weed, don't drink, and do not take drugs. But you grew up on Adderall, so that's okay, though. But don't take anything else.
Well, yeah, exactly.
You know?
But, I mean, that's the fix for everything anymore. There's a pill for it.
Oh, I know it's adults too, but what is happening to this society?
It's the get well quick. I mean, there's a pill for everything.
It's hide. No, what it is, it's dig a hole and crawl in it, because you know what's been going on around here for the last couple months.
Yeah,
with Kevin, with other things, you know, with Mom,
mm-hmm.
you know, and all the stuff that's been going on. And I was talking to Brenda the other day, and she's like, "Are you on medication yet?" I said, Brenda, I can't get on medication. I said, I won't get on medication because I have to think. I have to think my way through all these problems and get them fixed. And you can't do that on medication.
No, you can't. And you have to have a clear head. And I was just blown away when you told me they were putting kids on lithium. It just blew me away. They put serial killers on lithium.
Yeah, it's toxic to children. I don't understand. And the way she talks, and I answered her. But the way she acted about the whole thing, this is so calm. We do it all the time.
You can't.
And it made me sick.
There's no nonchalant way to bring up lithium. There's nothing.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did.
I believe it was
very just normal. But normal, we do this all the time. Yes, she did.
And that just blew my mind. And
well, you know what? I told her thanks, but you know what? If I have to put him on lithium to put him in public school, I don't think that's going to happen.
No. Well, I mean, it would just stun his development completely. He would be a zombie. And
well, it would just, every gift that he has, it would just, they'd be gone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He would be a shell.
No.
And he's too funny, and he's too smart, and he's Kevin. You know what I mean?
Witty. I know. They'd all be gone. They're just like,
yep.
I can't even believe it.
No, I that just blows my mind. And to think there's children out there in our area. And it's not
there. Oh,
area
sure
in.
They are. But
there's
this is a special. This school is to help these kids. That's what I can't get over. I could maybe, if there's any way to understand, I can see them doing that in public school because that's what they do. But this is a school especially for these kind of kids.
I just don't understand.
They've got more staff than our school has.
Yeah, well,
I'm sure
it does. But it's just, I just can't see medicating. That's over-medicating.
I just know what lithium did. I know we had to watch their levels like crazy because they could go into toxicity
mm-hmm.
like within 2 or 3 days, you know,
absolutely.
And it just blows my mind.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
That's what they give serum colors in prison.
That's what we gave the murderers over, and there were several over at the state hospital.
Because it just completely, they have no process at all after the pill. They just go into a coma. They just don't, you know, there's nothing there.
Some of the adults were okay, but they had been on a long time. They were regulated, but they were already, this one guy in particular was like my age, and the nicest guy ever, and he whacked his mother, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But he was one, and I'm like, this is what happened. He turned schizophrenic at 21, and that's what he did. He thought she was rich. And nicest guy ever. But he had been on it at that point probably about 10 years. He was already doing the shaking and the drooling. And that's never going to go. It's going to get worse. It's never going to go away. And it's just, you know, the guy was nuts. I know what he did, but he couldn't help it. You know?
Right.
So I don't understand.
That's what, and if I'm at that age of the lifetime, if you get to wean yourself up, you can wean them off of that. There's no way. Crazy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, anyway, that's my little rant for today, and I have to get the out of my system because I'm just stunned. So, anyway, I think I'll take a break, pay a quick commercial, and we will come back with Nance Radcliffe.
Okay.
Hey, everybody, it's Crystal from North Kentucky Paranormal Outreach Radio. Have you ever wanted to investigate Bobby Mackey's but never had a chance? We have the chance for you now. For only $55 a person, you can join NKYPS and CRAPS on an investigation from 8 p.m. till 2 a.m. on June 22, 2010. Space is limited to 20 people, so please, if you want your tickets, you better get them while they're here. For further information, you can contact me at christel@nkyps.com. I look forward to hearing from you.
Haunted Times Magazine is honored to have been chosen by the IPAA as the number one paranormal magazine in the world, offering its readers a look into the supernatural. Publishing consistently since 2005, Haunted Times Magazine has brought its readers the best information on hauntings, ghosts, UFOs, cryptozoology, the newest technology, and much, much more. Start your subscription today by visiting the Haunted Times Magazine website at www.hauntedtimes.com. Just click on the Subscribe Now banner, fill out the simple information needed, and you'll begin your subscription to Haunted Times with our most recent issue, featuring an in-depth interview with Zach, Nick, and Aaron of television's Ghost Adventures. Mention this advertisement in the comment section of your order form and receive a much sought-after rare back issue of Haunted Times Magazine free with your paid subscription. Visit www.hauntedtimes.com today.
Have you ever wondered if the urban legends in your town were true? Join Cincinnati Regional Association for Paranormal Studies, also known as CRABS, on their ventures in the search of the tri-state's urban legends. Every community has its urban legends and folklore. The Cincinnati area is no different. Those stories of tragic deaths and the hauntings that follow, sighting of strange creatures, devil worshippers, abandoned crematoriums, ghosts and ghouls, and even Charlie Manson. Krebs has heard all the stories also, and now they are going to check them out for themselves. They are going all over southern Ohio, northern Kentucky, southeast Indiana, looking for the truth behind these stories. But the best part is, they're taking you with them. So join them for their paranormal road trip as they investigate the tri-state's urban legends. You can visit their website at www.o-craps.com. That's www.oh-craps.com.
Every Sunday night, join Mike
and Mary for Music Over the Years.
Come over to www.asprn.com at 11:30 p.m.
Join in the party.
Coming up, so you better get this party started.
Have you been to Bobby Mackey's and had a paranormal experience? Do you think that your story is good enough to be told in a book? Do you have pictures you might think have spirits in it? If so, contact Crystal from Northern Kentucky Paranormal Society at christel@nkyps.com. And your story just might be published in a book.
My folder for something.
Hear me now?
I hear you now.
Okay.
You're on.
Can you hear me? Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, we're back.
You're back.
We're back. We're back.
Hi. Jeez. Anyway, welcome back. Hi, Dan. How are you? Doing well. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing all right. I waited a little bit, so I feel better.
I was reading about medication and people.
I know, I heard you. I know. We both typed to each other, and I know what it's like as a parent to go through that. And I fought through California school districts, Nebraska school districts, and I knew by the time we got to New Jersey not to even fight with me.
Yeah, they put you on those lists.
I was on the list.
A list for mothers,
yes,
like that.
They knew attorney, master of IEPs, don't even try anything. But I went through the whole gamut of he must be on Ritalin, must be on this and that. I said, no, he has anoxic brain damage due to a botched surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody created that with an unmarked glucose bag with adult medication. So he doesn't need to have medication in him when you don't know what section of the brain was destroyed.
Right.
You know, they want to automatically teach you, and I can understand a teacher's viewpoint to a point of wanting to keep a child and try to have them integrated into a classroom. What I find unacceptable is overloading the teachers with too many children in the classroom to begin with.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I've seen so many different situations where my son was walking around like a dinosaur in the classroom, opens the door, and what's going on? Teacher's looking at me, almost got kicked out of the school because of that. Grabbed my son, and it's unacceptable.
Right.
So, it's unacceptable if the other child's not able to do that. He's not able to do that. So, I mean, I've had many of fights, and he finally did get the right medication, but I'm talking about a gamut of neurologists. I would have to fly from L.A. out to the expert my sister found me, because she works at NIH, to an expert, top leading neurologist expert in the world, in Washington, through Johns Hopkins. And that's what I had to do, and then go to a psychiatrist. And I got the whole gamut of people on my side to finally say, I'm ready to fight. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what
I have
to
a
do
friend.
Right here.
She had her child was born fine, and the doctor that delivered him was apparently abusing drugs, and he lost, I think, 2 minutes they got of oxygen when they delivered him, and he's fairly, I mean, he's making progress, and he can do things, but it's a shame what she went through. He's 19 now, and she's been to Hopkins, she's been to Texas. I don't even know why she has been trying to get this child what he needs to at least have some. Yeah.
Well, you know, you do what you do as a parent, and that's why it took me such an incredible time and a long time to get my degree, because this is the thing. Your child comes first, period. Period.
Absolutely.
No matter what.
I know.
So I didn't go to UCLA for film school. So what?
Mm-hmm.
So what? I'm a great photographer. So what? I didn't go into film. Big deal. No, I went to a different direction. There's different directions you do as a parent, because the one thing in life is you take care of your child, period. And that's her thing, is she'll have to take care of her child, and you as a parent have to take care of your two children. I have plenty of families and that I know that have handicapable children. And the,
mm-hmm.
the first and foremost is that child, because where do you think they take the money and the funding from?
I was going to say, I know the schools make a
special special education.
Yeah, they. My daughter, when she was in, and that's been 6 years ago, they had her as Asperger's under autism, and it was the second highest paying subsidy just in Ohio, just from Ohio alone. They got over $30,000. That didn't count the federal on whatever else they could write a grant for.
Right.
So there's no reason that these kids can't
exactly.
have some help.
But they'll get their football field.
School.
You'll have to get your football
exactly.
field every year, but, you
exactly.
know, the poor little kids in the small bus,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever. And a lot of things are screwed up, but, you know, we can talk about this all day. You know, I'll go for hours and hours and hours on it, because I've been fighting the fight. He's 22 years old. Been fighting the fight forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still fighting for him. And I know my direction in life now.
Yeah, exactly.
And I know what the direction is that I'm going to be doing and helping and trying to get to talk and speak in front of Congress and stuff on medications and certain things, because nobody's taking care of this situation. They just want to over-medicate children. They want to
mm-hmm.
give them different classifications. My son has been probably given six different diagnoses. So finally, one said, it's not Asperger's. I know what it is. Your other neurologist is correct. It is
right.
anoxic
right.
brain damage. He had a hypoxic event, and I knew it was because I had a dream, and it popped in my head, get the records. The next day I went over to the hospital, got the records. The temp was working there, thank goodness. She gave me everything.
Funny how those things work out.
She gave
out
me
out.
Everything, and they didn't
uh-huh.
know. They didn't know I had the records. I gave them to an attorney, and there you go. They saw that they doctored the records.
Mm-hmm.
So even though they say, you know, you do what you have to do as a parent, and there you go.
Well, it's like we talked earlier. I just think that the kids, you know, as far as reincarnation, such as Scott leaving, they chose us to be their parents because we're the ones going to fight for them.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the field that I work in the hospital is dealing with, I code medical records. And what I'm learning, you know, I went through school. Going through school, you know, you don't learn what you need to learn until you actually start working.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about, what you learn in school is about collecting the data for scientific purposes, study purposes, or whatever, but it's really nothing. It has nothing to do with that when you're working in the hospital. It's about who pays what, how much they pay for it. You know, you have to query doctors to get them to change things
mm-hmm.
to where, and it's, you have to, you can't lead a doctor to a diagnosis, but you have to, like, ask the question in a way.
Right.
To make him go to that direction to get that bill paid. And that's, you know, Asperger's, autism, and schizophrenia are the highest paying when it comes to any kind of mental condition. And
right.
that's why there are so many diagnoses of autism. That's why there's so many diagnoses of schizophrenia. That's why there's so many diagnoses of Asperger's, because you get paid big bucks for that.
Yeah, but when it comes to insurance, they won't cover it.
Well,
yeah,
it comes down to this in our country. Our country is owned by lobbyists. Let's just be
Absolutely.
Truthful about this. It comes down to the top lobbyists in the country, and one of them happens to be what? An insurance. So
exactly.
it comes down to the thing of they want to just get the medications out there, and here you have free samples, and here the doctors go to the dinners for free and get comped for this. And after a while, when they start saying, hey, do you want to try this med for free and this, and I go, no. And the doctor go, what do you mean? I go, no.
Yeah,
let me check with my sister. She works with NIH, and I'll see what that medication is. My sister would say, no.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite simple for me, but for parents who are out there and don't have that information, it's not easy.
Oh, no. And, you know, the sales reps for the pharmaceutical companies will come in with their fancy cars, pulling their big bags full of drugs.
Absolutely.
With big, you know, ordering lunch for the doctors and ordering lunch for the
That's
doctors
what they
offices
do.
And nurses. And you know, it happens 3 or 4 times, and you see it every day, and you're just like, you know.
And that's you're absolutely right, and that's one of the things I'd really like to get going on in my life. It's not just the paranormal field and helping with historic everything and everything that I'm involved with. I'm really going back and sat down the other day and I said, I love my artwork, but what else as a parent should I give back to?
Mm-hmm.
I sat down and said, oh my God, the first thing popped in my head was my son's face. I've never sat down in front of Congress and said, this is what needs to be done. It's going to take quite a few years because our country obviously is really screwed up beforehand. For quite a few years it's been goofed up with the Congress and Senate, both sides.
Yes.
But there's a lot going on in our nation. But I really think that it needs to be looked into. I really think everything needs to be looked into, and how much over-medicated and too many diagnoses for different names and new syndromes are coming up with, and it's ludicrous.
And that's what I thought about the other day, that we are the most over-diagnosed country in the world. You know, everybody has something wrong. Well, many things wrong, not even just one.
Absolutely. Everybody has something.
Hey, Joni.
Yeah. Yeah?
Every time you talk, you're really garbled and kind of hard to understand. Let me call you back and see if that helps.
Okay.
All right.
So, Nance, I understand you're going to be traveling to Massachusetts soon?
Yes. Quite two months in a row. The first one. Oh, okay.
Better?
Yes, it's better.
Okay.
Gorgeous.
I don't know. It's just, I don't know.
It's so alignment of the stars. Well, the first one I'm doing is May 22nd, which is a Saturday with Jane.
Mm-hmm.
And we were graciously invited by Nightfall Paranormal. They're going to be doing the Haunted Penny Gatehouse. And it's going to be an incredible event. Dove will be there, Audrey Hewins will be there, Math Paranormal, and Jane and I, we're volunteers for Fort Mifflin, we will be there. That is this Saturday. It's going to be, I'm just looking forward to it because I went to the place, I believe it was last month. All my months are just, I don't even know what month it is. All I know is I got my PDA and it says we got to go to this event. That's what I go to. But
mm-hmm.
I'm doing that this week. I've got quite a few things going on, but the next biggest thing that I'm doing is July 24th, then with Mass Paranormals, the 1699 Isaac Winslow House.
That house has never been investigated, correct?
How exciting is that?
I know.
Yeah, who is Isaac Winslow? Is that somebody that was well-known in the area?
I believe historically, yes. I don't know much about him, to tell you the truth, and I should. But, the problem is I've traveled all over the country too much. I've lived in different places. And that's the problem I have. Perhaps Tom could write something about him. But the only thing I really know about it is that the home is 1699. It's nobody's ever been able to get inside of the home.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's a dream come true.
Yeah, it is.
Come on. How exciting is that?
Is it like a big place or a stone house, or I've never seen any pictures of it even.
It looks to me like almost like a salt box with additions added onto it.
Okay.
I think it's called the Careswell after the family Kurzweil. They came from England, but it is it was their third house. So you have a lot of stuff, the Plymouth colony in the area, Native Americans in the area and such, but what I do believe I remember is Colonel Winslow was head of governor's office there, and it's during the Battle of the King Philip's War.
Yeah.
We're talking about very, very, very old area.
Yeah, Tom said it's the first house in Marshfield, Massachusetts.
Oh,
we had
Tom
on last year, and he was telling us about King Philip's War, and no one ever heard of that.
No, and you know what? I'm from Wisconsin, so I hear a lot about the Native American aspect, but Native American in the Midwest, we really truly knew about anything as far as the East Coast, to tell you the truth. It depends on what part of the nation that they pick what books you're going to read for history.
Well, they do. That's what they do.
They do. They absolutely do. So all of a sudden I'm going, Fort Mifflin, what's that? You know, right. When I came here and, you know.
Yeah. I never heard of Fort Mifflin until I saw it on Ghost Hunters. And you've been working with that for how long?
Well, only for 2 years. When I came here, I heard about it being in, having troubles. I read an article and I immediately didn't even call them. I put a MySpace going. The MySpace is now shut down because we really don't need it after 15 months. To tell you the truth, more people are on Facebook.
Right.
So they've got the ball moving, and they've got the old Fort Mifflin Historic Society and so forth are really helping. And people still know us, Jane and Nance, as the Fort Mifflin girls, but the thing is, that's what we don't want to be known as. I mean, we're one of the women of Fort Mifflin.
Right.
That's basically it. There are so many men and women that are helping Fort Mifflin, and that's the word that needs to get out. I mean, it's getting destroyed. It's falling apart.
Wow.
The three major storms we had here alone, we had over, 35, 36 inches of snow?
Yes.
That's snow that I used to get in Green Bay. And so that plays quite a number on everything at the place. We have horrific rain is going on, so I'm just going to go out with Jane. I'm going to try to do what we love to do best, paint, kill spiders. I love killing spiders. This is the thing that's always been about me. Jane and I met each other online 5 years ago. Didn't see her until 2 years ago. She finally demanded I meet her Mother's Day. We went to Fort Mifflin together, and from that moment on, we started volunteering and helping Fort Mifflin.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, period. My point was, when we started this MySpace, was to get the word out not only about Fort Mifflin, but anybody in the U.S. Of course they can't make it to Fort Mifflin. Doesn't mean they can't help a historic hospital in their area, a battlefield in the area where a big box type of corporation is trying to bulldoze down. I can't say names or I'll get sued. You know, it's like
I know.
A hospital. Everybody stand up for your history. I'm a lifetime member of the Historical Relic Preservation Society. And the thing is about it is everybody is trying to help in their own way. Most of the people I have met in the paranormal field, their first and foremost love is history.
Right. Yep.
So that, to me, goes hand in hand.
Absolutely.
So if you love history and you love the paranormal, I find more people in the paranormal field are the ones that are getting incredibly angry about places being broken into and call the police when something else is on YouTube, these little flashlight terrorists, as I call them. They go into break into places like my friends Ree and Jim from Prism MD from Maryland, their group. They have a problem at the lighthouse. Everybody needs to step forward and help out, truthfully.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, because we have problems here in our area with one of our favorite haunts, our cemetery.
They'll kill it, won't they?
And they have, you know...
Yeah, extreme vandalism. And it's a historic cemetery, and it's still active, but it's very isolated, and people, I don't know who's doing it. I assume it's probably teenagers knocking and breaking up stones and throwing their beer cans and
what's
other,
the point?
Other things in there. I don't know, because I don't know what the point is. Where's your kids?
This is the point nowadays with the kids. They don't have what I had when I was younger, and we'd go make out at the drive-in movies. And that's where you drink the beer.
We need drive-ins. Yeah, we should start drive-ins.
There's no drive-ins anymore. So now, what are they doing? They're being naughty. They're hanging out at, driving nuts at a Wawa or 7-Eleven, going to the cemetery and being naughty.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Quit being naughty. Do something good.
Hey, did you see that on Facebook about the Queen Mary? Did you see that? I happened to see it.
No,
I didn't look into it. Something about they're signing a petition for ghost hunters, as they put it, paranormal investigators, are signing a petition to not go on to it because they're making it unfriendly, apparently, to paranormal investigators. It has a new owner or something.
Oh, who does it is not pro-investigation.
Yeah, so I don't know what that's about. That was come out of the clear blue sky.
Yeah, rumor.
That was a
this is my thing. I've been to the Queen Mary 2 times when I lived in L.A. I wasn't there for any paranormal investigations, but, of course, I saw things, and I was like, hello, has anybody else seen this? Nobody was seeing things, heard things. It was crazy, active during the daytime, and I kept looking at the bill, and he's like, don't even start, knock it off. And so he's like, just he rolls his eyes. He goes, my husband is the biggest nerd, and is a defense contractor. So unless it's right in front of him, it doesn't exist. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So we're going into this place, and the thing was, let's think about it logically, what brings in the most money for anything? A lot of paranormal groups and the different events you have at these historic places is what helps these places survive.
Absolutely. Totally agree.
But and it's a difference between the mature ones.
Yeah, there's a couple places here that we've actually talked to more than once trying to... We live in an area that is backwoods, maybe, kind of, not isolated. We're rednecks, okay? So, you know, there's a couple places here we've tried to talk and say, listen, your place has fallen to pieces. If you would just let us come in and, you know, check it out, maybe you have something. Do you realize how much donation money you could get to keep this place upgraded and functional? It's fallen to pieces. They just don't get it.
I don't think, I'm not sure so much sure that they don't want to do it. I think that they think in this area, it's a lot like your husband. If it's not right in front of their face, they don't believe it. And if they for some reason in their head, if they believe it, then they're crazy.
That's what it is.
I agree wholeheartedly with you. We have a problem, and I'll be forthright about it. The same thing goes on when we work at Fort Mifflin.
Right.
And so everybody has come together between Historic Society and the paranormal community to save it. Because some people don't have the same beliefs. I mean, that's truth in anything in our society.
Right.
But the thing is, there's no reason that you can't come together as one and have respect. That's the key word, is respect.
Yes, respect. Yes, it
respect,
is.
Respect, no drama. Respect and come
not
forward
unity,
together as
respect.
One.
Uh-huh.
Well, unity doesn't work. I'm going to tell you something. This whole thing about unity, I was always, I had a few people who were angry with me about unity. I just, if unity doesn't work in the world, it's not going to work in one sector of society.
Right. I know, and what's the sense of getting angry? Because it's true, we are human beings. We are born with jealous streaks. We are born with trying to get ahead of the other person, especially in the society that we live in, and you're not going to be united. You can try it. And you can find people with a common goal, and you can unite with some people, but it is never going to cover everybody. So let's at least respect each other.
Everybody does not, just what you said, respect each other. And unless everybody's raised to respect each other, even if you don't have the same viewpoints, I'll respect a person and listen to them, just so they listen to me.
Right.
And that's
all you have
difference.
To do.
And
all
I might not agree with
listen.
The person. Like I was at the Million Mom March. My father's a hunter and an NRA member for lifetime. The thing is this, my sister's completely against guns. I am not. But I have the respect to go there to sign it and say, why not have education for children to not touch the weapons?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, find the alternative. Find a positive alternative choice to take care of that, because you don't have to be for or against, but there's always a way through.
Exactly.
You can get through it somehow if you just have if you're a thinker and you can think about
the one
other ways.
In the middle. I'm always trying to be the one in the straight down the line, and try to be logical and say, listen, I don't agree, but I see this viewpoint of yours, or I see this viewpoint of yours. I might not agree with you, but, you know, I have a lot of friends that I absolutely adore, and I don't agree with the whole paranormal drama thing going on and don't like it.
I know.
And that's why I've stepped back away. That's why I've backed away.
I do, too. I just kind of like, I'm like, okay, I see where this is going. I will not look there for a
while. There's no sense to it. There's no sense to it, because that's, to me, even if it's negative, it's not going forward. It just, you get more negative and more negative and more negative.
It's always negative. You know, there's never anybody.
You can't get anything positive out of being negative. You could say, you know what, I'm very upset about something that somebody did, blah, 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 whatever, fine. But the thing is, move on.
And they do. They do after a while, but then the damage is already done.
Exactly. Well, and the one thing my mother always taught me is if you don't have anything nice to say about somebody, don't say it at all.
Right. Yeah, that's what I try to tell my kids, too.
Because you can't take it back once you've hurt a human being. You can take it back.
You can apologize, but it's not going to...
You can, but it still stays in a person's mind. And
there
that's
are
the one
certain
thing I've always tried to live by is just, you know, try to be nice because there's so many people out there that are hurting. And like my friend in there, Pat, in the chat room saying that she's freelancing now. And I'm freelancing too, you know, and I absolutely love it. I love working with my as I call him, my brother. You know, I love him. I couldn't cry in front of him, and he hugs me. He's my brother, Tommy, you know, from Mass Paranormal.
Oh,
and I love him.
Awesome.
He knows how many times I've been up there. And the thing is, there are groups that I will just absolutely, utterly work with. And
I know.
I
see you've got a list here. You've got Perry. You've got Mass Paranormal, which is Tommy. You've got Tri-County Paranormal.
Yep.
You've got MPPI East Coast. Nightfall, which they're great, too. NIAC is your...
I'm his lab rat.
Mm-hmm. And Prismed, which is that's based in Maryland, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So I mean, you just get all over the place. Yeah, I saw
do.
That. What is you've been into testing dowsing rod apparatus?
Right. I can't say much about anything right now.
Okay.
Mitch is
okay.
in the chat room, and he's the one that's the device of dowsing rods. And basically, what it is, it's an absolutely lovely device. That I come from a family of water dowsers, which I did not know.
Mm-hmm.
My father finally told me last year. Surprise. Mm-hmm. So every time I was investigating, I really just don't trust this because I'm saying something in my head, it's moving. And everybody kept saying, oh, it's the spirits moving on. I'm like, nah. I noticed that when I got more by water, spinning, like helicopters.
Uh-huh.
So Jane goes, oh, it's great. Anywhere, she goes, hey, Nancy, water bubbler, you know, or water fountain, as they say out here. Look, water. We start laughing.
Mm-hmm.
But the device is wonderful where I'm able to actually have it stable on top of my tripod. And I've actually made it move three times with my own mind. I'm writing things down and trying to do it at different places. Like the next place I'll go is like, you know, try to get to a cemetery and do different things like that. I'm by a house that has high EMF. So
okay.
I have to sleep in a different area of the house because I'm very sensitive. But I'll try to test it out in different areas to see what's going on. Because they think the thing with people is they think they're holding it and it's just fine and it's not moving. But even if you have a wind during an investigation blowing, you can manipulate the dowsing rods by the human hand without even knowing it, just moving slightly. Even ever so slightly, we'll move it.
I believe that.
You know, so I like using it. I come from water dowsers, so I'm basically a skeptic and a dowser, but for something else. I have a friend that's different. She's completely believed that someone can communicate through it. She'll be testing it. And then Mitch got some other people who completely don't believe in anything at all, and we're all doing this and trying to get all our data together, which will take quite a long time, but I think what Mitch is doing is great.
Because that's the way everything should be done.
Right.
I mean, the group of people, the different type of people, that's how all these experimentations should be done. And they take time. They take a long time. But at least you know the results you're getting are pretty much what they are. So
exactly.
You don't touch this.
What I can do is I have it on a tripod, and I am touching the metals. I told him I needed brass or copper. He
mm-hmm.
sent it out in the mail. I was amazed. Less than a week, I get it. I'm like, thank you, Mitch. And
mm-hmm.
what I do is I touch it normally, and I hold it very close to me on a tripod, though. I mean, it's not free form in your hand. It's just in your hand, and it moves normally. It's just trying to get enough energy grounded through your feet to come up through is the only problem I have. But I find that I can still get it to work. And especially as being a water dowser, that was my experimenting on it is to see. And it's true. I found out my family tree, and it comes from a line of water dowsers and lumberjacks. So it makes sense. I remember when I was little watching my grandpa with wood and going through the woods doing this weird thing with this, what's this Y-shaped thing that you're using? Oh, I'm falling off.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's the cutest thing. So That I love doing. I'm like a lab rat for him doing that and something else, and nice EVP experiments that they're doing. And I question myself even on a lot of things now. I mean, I used to be, ooh, what's that? You know, when you first start out investigating. I mean, I've been doing it for a very long time. I did it the wrong way. I would investigate when I was younger by myself, which is a no-no. I didn't know that until all of a sudden there was a show on TV, you know, with some plumbers and
I think I know what you're talking about.
And then all of a sudden I'm like, interesting. People actually have groups and believe in this and do it. Well, I was told and raised to not talk about it. Very strict family. Don't ever speak about that. I don't want to hear it. You know, what's going on. I would tell them when the phone was going to ring, who would be on it. They didn't like that. You know, it scared them. So basically now all of a sudden it's like, oh, now I'm like their hunting dog. I could just point. When I get tired sometimes, I just sit down and go, oh, yeah, over there. I just point. Yeah, over there. Okay, I'm sitting here. Yeah, right there. Just over there with the equipment. I get so lazy, I just go, oh, okay, over there. Woof, woof. Okay, over there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I expect so. It can really stop your energy sometimes.
Well, Pat knows what I'm talking about because we were at an investigation together with Prism and the... I don't even know how to say their name. Anyway, we were together with the Maryland team, and I kept looking at her. We were laughing so hard because we're looking at each other. She would look at me. I would look at her, and I go, soldiers of the corn. And we bust up laughing because it was like cornfield that was there. And it was like soldiers. And she's looking at me laughing. And all night long, I kept saying, look at that soldier, hot soldier of the corn. And we're like laughing all night. People thought we were the craziest women. I'm like, look at that sniper over there. Ooh.
Hey, it's okay to have fun at an investigation.
We do. See, this is the thing about it. You're supposed to have fun. You're supposed to know when you're serious, but when you go outside to relax a little bit after some intense things that happen to you, you like to go outside, and we just happened to be outside, and I looked, and we kept just staring at each other, going, you know, and I kept doing Children of the Corn, and then went to Soldiers of the Corn. So, she just said Soldiers of the Corn, they were him. Yeah, they were. Men in uniform. I don't care if they're alive or dead.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. There, I said it. Why do you think about the fort? You have nothing to be sorry for. It could be a UPS man coming to the door. I'm like, hello, thank you. Thank you for that.
Hey, my UPS man this summer wears shorts. He's tan, too.
Lay purr.
I'm like, what can I order?
Yum, yum.
Okay.
What am I out of?
I'm gonna have to order something on Amazon tonight then.
Rising. Let's calm this down a little bit.
Oh, sorry. We're getting carried away. I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
okay.
I have one question. Do you?
Okay.
I ask this a lot, but I get opinions on this. Do you think that the popularity of the television shows that are on now, dealing with paranormal, are some of the reason why some of these groups are popping up and all they're caring about is finding that big evidence? That they're not really into the finding, you know, because you do investigations and there's nothing to be found, and that's just the way it is.
Right, and you're forthright and you tell the person the truth.
Right, but you know, when there's these groups popping up everywhere and all they're focused on is finding something big, because they want to make a name for themselves.
Well, yeah, but the problem is this. They're going to get caught no matter what, these groups. Because I've been in that situation where they get caught in this region, and our group pair had gone in and have to, as we say, clean up. They're not helping. They're hurting the person that it took so long for them to call and pick up the phone anyway.
Right.
It takes a lot of time and effort for an individual that's, a residential, let's just say, somebody who's a homeowner to give you a call. That's the last resort, because it's, for most people, it's either spiritual reasons or whatever. They are just cannot speak about it. There's a lot of people we've come across is because of an employer, so you do not speak about it. You know, we've signed contracts with them, and we do not speak about doing certain, you know, any investigation, period, point blank. I think that a lot of the shows that are coming on are detrimental. I haven't really been watching any anymore, to tell you the truth. I don't watch any anymore. Because what's the point?
Right.
Truthfully, I don't know. What's the point? If I'm investigating anyway, what am I going to get from a group that's on television that cannot do what they want to do anyway?
Yeah, I know. That's very true. I used to think when they started coming out, it was good because I thought maybe it would make the public gain more acceptance of the paranormal in general. But then it went past that point into now everybody thinks they can go out and do whatever they want, and they don't even know how to do it.
No, it's not
because
right.
They're going by what they see on television or what they read on the internet. And I'm just like a firm believer, like you, Nance, starting young, before anybody ever heard of anything like this, when you're a kid and reading whatever book you could possibly find.
Every book I had from the library.
You know, whatever you could, and there were so few. And that's
right.
We started, we got the background, we read like Hans Holzer.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, and Edgar Cayce in
University,
my case.
Any things about poltergeist infestations, Harry
right.
Price, that's what I was raised on.
But
my
they're
name
not.
And the problem is, it's not only dangerous for homeowner, it's dangerous for those individuals who are doing the investigations themselves.
Right.
They're putting
they
themselves at risk and they don't know it. I've had
right.
things follow me home and turn around and go away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
nope.
I know.
Never coming in the house. Get out.
But they don't believe. They think
like,
that doesn't happen. They don't, because they don't have the historic, there's a history here too. They don't have this historical background of how people, like Hans Holzer and so forth, started into this and what they knew and what to be careful of and what you do, what you don't do. They don't have that.
Right.
It's a thrill. They want a thrill.
Well, that, and then I think people who wait to call are they're fearful because they don't want anybody. Like, I live in a very small town, so if someone from my town would call me, it would be a last resort, and it would be because they know something there, or they think something there, they've seen something, but they don't want anybody else to know. Because if the neighbor next door thinks you have a ghost in your, if they think you have a ghost in your house, they're not, of course you're going to be talking to town, you know, so
mm-hmm.
they don't want people to know. Where, I think these television shows, I mean, I watch them occasionally, I try not to watch them. I used to watch them religiously. I used
mm-hmm.
to think, this is
I do too. You know when I stopped watching them? I'll just tell you when I stopped watching them. I saw something on Animal Planet or something about some animals or something.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
And another show with a nice man, but he had a cigar sticking out of his mouth. And the thing was.
I don't know what that one is.
I don't know. But it was a nice man, but he was walking around with a cigar in his mouth. And the thing is, I'm an empath. Okay, there I said it. Like it's a dirty word. I need all my senses to smell and taste and touch and whatever. And
mm-hmm.
you got that thing hanging in your mouth. I can't. I'm smelling your cigar that's not lit. And you got a dog that woof woof is staring at something. You don't know what they're staring at.
Oh, a dog in an investigation. Okay, I know what you mean.
You know what I'm talking. I don't know something. What it,
yeah.
And that's all fine and dandy, but it gets to the point where it's too much.
Right. And I think it's a lot of sensationalism in it because, they're not going to have a television show unless they find something. And I think a lot of people don't understand. Like, I know when we go on investigations, people that know what we do will say, did you find something? Did you find something? We're like, not really. And they're like, well, how long did you do it? And we're like, 6-7 hours. And they're like, really? Well,
yes, they don't know that.
Yeah, last night on such and such show, they found this stuff in an hour. I'm like, no, they didn't. No, it was condensed down into an hour. And
right. That's editing.
Know.
And for living in L.A. and having a cousin who's in the movies and is a body double, and I'm not going to say who the person is, but...
Ooh.
No. I'm sworn. I mean, I can't say who my family members are. A lot of mine are in the industry. Let me just say something. It's called editing. It's called producers go through it. They go through the editing. They go through the cut. And then whatever's exciting, they put on. When you see these poor teams and they say, okay, let's check over the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, okay. And so you go over the evidence. And it doesn't take 1 hour, like 20 minutes in a show. As we know, some of this takes like hours and hours and weeks to go run through get evidence.
Yeah, I know. I realize that. Well, I guess our time is running out. Nancy, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so
much. You guys have a blast this weekend. I know you're
going to. I'm going to have a great time.
I know, and enjoy and think about me here stuck home with kids.
And maybe we'll have you back on to get some information from you from that 300.
For the Winslow? When they do the Winslow house? Yeah, that'd be cool.
$16.99. I'd love to. Actually, Tom should come on, and it would be amazing.
I think that'd be an awesome show, because Tommy is a good guest, too, so we could have a really good show.
Thank you so much. I truly appreciate it, and I'm sorry about the men in shorts. I'll be good next time.
That's fine. I can deal with it. Don't worry. Actually, my neighbor is a UPS man, so.
Oh, well, there you go.
I appreciate it, so there you go.
Thank you so much. I adore both of you, and have a wonderful summer, and I hope to talk to you soon.
Yes, Nancy, we will definitely talk to you soon, and enjoy yourself, and
I will.
Have a nice time.
I will. Love you guys. Thank you so much.
Okay, love you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Be safe.
Okay, and that was Ms. Nancy Ratliff, and she's on her way to Massachusetts.
Yes. Unfortunately, we're stuck in...
I will get there one of these days. I swear to God, we'll get there one of these days.
Oh, good.
Because Tommy said we could sit on the deck and look at the ocean and drink coffee. So we will get there one of these days. So. Okay, well, everybody, thanks for listening. It's a great show. Thank you, Mike. And thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
We will have a podcast up here probably sometime tomorrow night or whatever. And tell your friends. So I'm not sure who's on next week yet. We'll have somebody, I'm sure. I'm still trying to rebook everybody. Everybody out there, have a great week. And we will see you next Thursday night on EVP Spirit Talk Radio.
Good night, everyone.
Night.
Thank you for listening. Visit your hosts, Joni and Mike, at www.EgyptValleyParanormalInvestigations.com. And be sure to come back every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for EVP Spirit Talk on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Join Residual Hauntings live every Wednesday night at 11 Eastern on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Residual Hauntings Live will bring you the best of the best, and not to mention, the Paranormal Ninja. So wind your Wednesday down with Residual Hauntings Live at 11 Eastern on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Are you hearing bumps in the night? We'll help you find the answers you desperately need. Get your paranormal radio fix for the week. Tune in to Para Investigators Radio with Kurt and Bill every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's each and every Monday night at 9 Eastern in Studio A. Only on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.